Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after the hour. Seems I've got to have a change of scene. Mr. Joe Cocker on vocals there. One of Joan Pride's favorites, I think. Joan's with us. She's Joan's senior editor with the Kipling Editors. You love Joe Cocker, don't you, Joan?
Sure. Whatever you say, Jim. It's your show.
Welcome back, Joan.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
Hello. It's good to have you back. I know it's like a dream come true for you, right?
Or a nightmare, one or the other.
Have you been watching the Democrat convention?
Well, why wouldn't I? I'm an equal opportunity watcher, except there isn't much to watch if you're watching it on the broadcast channels.
Boy, 1 hour?
I like my convention unfiltered, so I watch it on C-SPAN.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're right about that.
It's much better.
That's the the store brand version.
That's the
generic version, isn't it?
Yeah, it's much better.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been an interesting. An interesting convention, and what do you think about what's happened so far?
Well, seems to be going well.
There's been no controversy, really, has there?
It's been amazing. There's a lack of content, and people keep commenting on it.
Homogenized and pasteurized.
They're so united. Usually there's platform fights. There isn't even a mention of the platform.
Well, now, what do you make of that, Joan? What do you think about that particular thing that you just said? Is that a good thing or not?
Well, I don't see where infighting does them any good.
But doesn't that kind of harden their message I would think you'd be the first one to say that a little bit of dissent is good for any organization.
No, not in this. These guys have had more dissent in their organization for years. I mean, that's the thing. It's so unusual for them to be so united.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you think they're so united?
Well, I guess it's because they want to take back the White House.
And so they're willing to put aside their petty party differences to be able to put on a united front in their quest to get Bush out of the White House.
Yeah, it sure looks that way.
I think you're right. But yeah. Is there another element, Joan? Could there be another element that anybody who is, you know, maybe is more moderate, maybe somebody who is maybe even almost conservative, the conservative elements in the Democrat Party, which there used to be, I don't know if there are anymore, but there used to be. Could it be that those people just don't feel like they can raise their voices?
Well, they probably feel like a liberal in the Republican Party.
All right, that's a good question. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I used to term those people Rockefeller Republicans, you know, Republicans who were more to the left wing, and I don't know that you have too many of them anymore.
Our friend Steve Moore calls them rhinos, Republican in name only.
That's funny. And you kind of have to wonder, like an individual such as Zell Miller, for example, who spent years driving the Democrats crazy because he sounded more like a Republican.
Right.
But he was always a Democrat, but very, very, very conservative.
Well, you know, he's written a book about that. What is it? A party, something about the Democrat Party. But it's basically, and he's actually, even though he's still a Democrat, he's still in Congress. This is his last term. He's actually going to speak at the Republican convention. Now, this is the interesting, the juicy irony. We've got a guy named Ronald Reagan speaking at the Democrat convention, and then we have a Democrat senator, a standing Democrat senator, speaking at the Republican convention.
That's right. We have another Republican in name only speaking at the Republican convention, a guy named Michael Bloomberg, who's really, really in his heart of hearts Democrat.
Joan, have we descended into bizarro world or something? Is this the Twilight Zone? What's going on?
I don't know. I would hate to think that we end up with a Republican Party that equals conservatism and a Democratic Party that equals liberalism. You know what I mean? I would hope that
don't you think that's where we are?
But I would hope both parties could somehow get to a point where they're more inclusive. But they're getting so polarized. I don't know that that's possible.
I think that's where we are, Joan. You're saying you hope we don't get to that. I think that ship has sailed.
That's too bad.
Well, Joan, look around. I mean, what is the one thing that we keep hearing the pundits say how polarized the electorate is?
Right.
So, I mean, I think basically you've called the shot. I mean, you've identified it. You've nailed it.
Yeah.
What is Mr. Okay. What have you heard? Have you did you hear Mr. Edwards' speech last night?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. What did you think about it?
Oh, it was excellent. Didn't you think so?
I thought he delivered a good speech.
Yeah. What was wrong with it?
Well, I think that I listened to it as a small business owner. And what I heard him say was that he was going to raise taxes. And I heard him say that he was going to raise minimum wage. And as a small business owner, that's not music to my ears.
Well, that's funny because there was something in the Wall Street Journal this week. I have to dig it out. There's a New York state organization of small business owners that are favoring a minimum wage increase now.
Well, I don't know about small business owners favoring it, but I know the state of New York. We covered that earlier this week. The state of New York is developing its own minimum wage. In fact, there's a living wage movement that's going on out there right now that's even higher than the minimum wage.
Oh, that's been going on for quite a while. But yeah, I'll dig out the name of that organization. I was really surprised to see that.
I've never heard of a small business organization saying.
Well, may not have spoken that correctly. Maybe not be small, but it was definitely a business organization.
Right. Right.
I will dig that up for you.
Have the Democrats been successful, Joan, in showing themselves to those 359 undecideds that are going to decide the election out there? have the Democrats done a good job of portraying themselves, you think, favorably to those people?
Well, that's a good question. Do we have time for me to answer it? Because I've got
sure.
an answer.
Yeah.
But, okay, great. You know, it kind of depends on whether those people have cable or not. And I don't mean to be flip about it, but I was reading an article yesterday where if you were only to watch the 1 hour on the networks, you would probably get one picture, a more moderate, inclusive picture. And if you were to sort of watch a lot of the earlier stuff and see a lot more of the, I guess, negative attack speeches, you would get a different view.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me if those 358 people have cable and are watching on C-SPAN.
I'm going to predict that those 359 people are not watching on C-SPAN. Now, whether they got cable or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I want to do, we're going to take a quick break, Joan. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on on what Mr. Kerry's going to have to do to and folks, by the way, this is most of this stuff that we're talking about here is on page one of this week's Kiplinger letter, and we're going to talk some more about this. We're going to see what Joan thinks that Mr. Kerry's got to do to get his base going and to curry favor with those 359 undecideds. 20 after. Stay with us.
She rules her life like a bird in flight.
It's 23 after the hour. We're grooving with our good friend Joan Pryde, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And we're talking a little bit about the Democrat convention and what's going on. Notice, Joan, I didn't say Democratic convention. I think that's an incorrect way to say it. It's the Democrats convention.
And, well, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah, I know it. Joan, what does Mr. Kerry have to do to get his bounce? The proverbial bounce. Tell the audience. Some people might not know what we mean when we say bounce. Tell the audience.
Well, bounce means that traditionally coming out of the convention, usually at this point in the year, the challenger will get a boost in the polls just because they've sort of held center stage, and assuming the convention has gone well, people have a favorable view of them. So you'll see a poll done next week, and if things go well at this convention, conventional wisdom says that poll will show Senator Kerry a few points higher, maybe even possibly leading George mm-hmm. Bush. Now, to me, that doesn't mean a whole lot, because the president will probably also get a bounce after his convention,
right.
And they will either be tied or maybe Bush will be ahead after the Republican convention. And then it comes down to those 358 people in the swing states that they will be campaigning to win the hearts of in September and October.
Well, it's almost like it's ordained or it's an inalienable right that each party will get a bounce. The question is when will Mr. Kerry's bounce be enough to really, you know, to really overcome the bounce that the president's going to get in a month.
Well, the problem is, you know, the polls that we're seeing are these national polls, and really, there's only a few states that matter in this election.
Where those 359 people live.
Exactly. Those are the people that matter in this election, and I think they're going to be hard to pin down coming out of the two conventions.
You know, it seems like I said this once before, Joan. It seemed like I said this just 4 years ago. It looks like the parties could find those 359 people and just sort of, you know, live with those people for a while.
That's what I'd do. Sure.
Other than those 359 people, the rest of the world is either red or blue. I mean, they're either for the Democrats or they're for the Republicans. And ne'er the twain shall meet. Nobody's going to change their minds.
Now, of course, what the candidates have been trying to do is possibly make inroads into the other person's safe territory to make them feel they have to work harder to be competitive in those areas and drain resources from what were considered safe areas. But I don't know if either candidate has been successful in doing that.
I think the bigger opportunity, Joan, is to hope that the other side is so uncompelling that their base stays home. That's how you, to me, that seems like how you make sure. And that's the reason why I encourage everybody. I don't care whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, a mugwump, or an independent, I don't care what your motivation is. I encourage everybody to vote for whoever you want to vote for. That's what we need to do. We need to get the American voter to the polls for all parties.
Right.
And this is very important. Joan.
And fill out your ballot properly, please.
Yes, yes. No hanging chads.
No hanging chads.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Poke that hole and make sure it goes all the way through.
Joan, let's talk about, one thing I'd like to talk about is this issue about the funding. You know, the Democrats have got a strategic disadvantage this time, don't they, with regard to their campaign funding.
Well, funny you should say that, because I was just reading an article in the Wall Street Journal about how they're almost neck and neck, and then they have a fundraiser named Senator John Corzine, who's just been doing amazing things.
But, Joan, once when Mr. Kerry accepts the nomination, he has to stop spending that money, doesn't he?
Oh, right. You're talking about the timing problem.
Yeah,
yes.
The timing. The Democrats have chosen to have their election a month before the Republicans, or vice versa. The Republicans chose to have it after the Democrats. And once he says, I accept your nomination, he has to stop spending. If I'm not mistaken, correct me now.
Right. That's
right. He has to stop spending the money that he's raised and start spending the $73 million, I think it is, that he gets from the government.
Right. So the question becomes, does he start spending that right away and risk running out of money before November 2nd? Or does he wait till the general election campaign and you know, not spend and stay off the air, which I think is what they're going to do, and thereby give the Bush campaign the opportunity to run ads against him unchallenged in that month before the Republican convention.
So the Republicans have got, as it turns out, from a strategic standpoint, the Republicans have a whole month to spend the money that they've raised from the contributors to target Mr. Kerry. While Mary Beth, I think it is, Catlin, or what's her name, the national chairman,
Cahill,
she said, I think I heard a quote, I saw a quote where she
we're
said,
going dark.
Say that again.
We're going dark, I think is
in,
what
in
she
In the
said.
Month of August.
In the month of August.
Now,
well, they have to.
So think about this, Joan. They come out of the convention. Mr. Kerry knocks it out of the park tonight at the convention, and they get this big bounce. And then they go dark. I mean, that's not a good strategy.
But here's what I think. She can say they're going dark, but maybe they're still running an ad or two for the 358 people. I mean, they don't need to be running ads all across the country.
Well, you're right.
They could pick a battleground state or two and spend a little money there. Let the Bush administration think they're going dark.
Right. Well, that's true. And by the way, Joan,
you need to use double, triple, reverse psychology here.
Well, I don't think my mind works that well. I'm not that smart,
Joan. That's why we're not in politics.
But let me correct you. It's 359 people. You want that one person is very important. We're going to take a quick break here, folks. And when we come back, we're going to move over and talk about the economy a little bit. We're going to move out of politics and talk a little bit about the economy. Then we're going to move over, talk about health care. We've got some human resources and some technology issues to talk about. And I'm going to get Joan to tell us what's going on with $43 a barrel of crude oil. And that's coming up right after these messages. 29 after. Stay with us.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Our website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and I think you'll like it. If you don't, you can unsubscribe. It's easy. And I won't charge you to unsubscribe either, and I won't even be mad at you. I want you to be happy. And so check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget all the other things you can do there at my website, which is also known as Small Business Heaven. That's jbsba.com. Joan Pride's there, aren't you, Joan?
Absolutely.
You're all over my website.
Oh, that's scary.
And that's the reason why it's a little bit of heaven, because Joan's there, right, Joan?
No question about
it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
What are you smoking today?
Joan, let's move over and talk about, let's leave politics a little bit.
Oh, I kind of hate to.
Yeah, I know. Well, we were having a good time with it there.
Yeah.
Before we do you have anything else that you'd like to add now that we're wrapping up the convention week? Before we go, because the next time, Joan, we talk about these things, you're going to have to talk about Republicans.
Ooh. Well, just watch tonight and see. The proverbial home run has to be hit by Senator Kerry tonight.
Do you think he can do it?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Does that trouble you to say that?
No, the thing about him is that what I've read about him is that he works best under pressure. If they put him under enough pressure, maybe he'll hit that home run.
So maybe they're like browbeating him as we speak or something.
Right. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. Yeah.
Well, I will say that the interesting thing, the only thing I'm going to say about what I've observed, the overarching attitude I've got about the Democrat convention is that they say things that make where they want you to believe that they are there for everyone in the country. But yet, if you think about it, look at how many of the speakers that they've had who don't represent a cross section of America. I mean, look at they've had Bill and Hillary Clinton, Ted Kennedy, and Al Sharpton. They've had who else? I mean, they've had all these people who are typically seen as left leaning doing the speaking on the show, and so at the convention. And so, you know, it seems to me, I guess what I'm disappointed in, Joan, is there's been pretty much a dearth of any kind of moderate Democrat. And your point earlier was that, you know, let's see how many.
I thought Governor Granholm was pretty moderate.
I guess I didn't see that speech.
Yeah, I saw her last. That's the problem, though. You know, remember, we're only seeing a small
You're
slice
right.
each night.
I actually knew that she was there, and I saw a little bit of it, but I didn't see much. But
she gives a good speech.
Do you consider her to be moderate, though?
Well, all I know is she gave a great speech. Just the way she says, just her tone of voice is excellent. I mean, she's trained.
Do you think that John Edwards has a good speaking voice?
Well, I thought he did, but after seeing her, I'd give her the top mark.
So you think she should have been the vice presidential nominee? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, she can't be.
Why?
She was born in Canada.
Oh, that's right.
They said
that's
last night, and I was killing me because she's beautiful, well-spoken. I thought, this is our nominee.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Joan, let's move on and talk about the economy. You guys report that the budget deficit will narrow slightly in the next year. If that news gets out, that's not good for the Democrats.
Well, I mean, when you say narrow, we're going down to $400 billion. That doesn't sound much narrower.
What is it you say, though, Joan? If you may not like the number, but you got to like the trend.
Well, the trend temporarily could go right back up. But 3.4% of GDP sounds awfully large, too. Of course, that's smaller than 3.8%, but it still sounds like a lot.
Right. Well, you know, that is a troubling number. But, you know, I'm more worried about making sure the economy is strong than I am and that businesses have the capital that they need to grow their businesses. And that's the supply side of me coming out than I am about the deficits.
But long term, you risk doing harm to the economy if you don't get the budget deficits under control.
But Joan, we've had experience, we've had precedent of having high deficits and the economy doing well and basically bailing us out of those deficits, right? We know that that's happened before.
I'm just reading what the letter says here. The sustained budget gap poses problems.
Yeah.
Boosts federal debt interest payments and pressures interest rates.
Right. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Joan to tell us about what Kiplinger has to say about what the Fed's going to do with regard to rates, if they got any more rate hikes in them. And then we're going to move down and talk about a little bit about some new medicines that are coming out that Kiplinger reports about this week. 20 till. We'll be right back with Joan Pride. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors.
Well, nothing is going right.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, the Kiplinger folks have an outstanding website called Kiplinger.com, www.kiplinger.com, and I encourage you to check it out. And Joan, they can subscribe to all of your publications there, can't they?
No question about it.
And there are four that are the periodicals that come more often than every month. There's the weekly Kiplinger letter, and then there you got three biweekly letters, don't you, Joan?
That's right.
The California letter, the agricultural letter, and the tax letter.
Yes.
You know a little bit about that one, don't you?
Yes, I actually work for the tax letter. You could be reading Kiplinger publications all month if you wanted to.
I know it, to your little heart's content, right?
Right.
including the monthly magazine, which is called
Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Many of you have seen that on the newsstand. I encourage you, next time you're at your newsstand, the bookstores, pick one of those up. Just noodle through it a little bit and see what you think. And you can subscribe online. They can call a phone number too, can't they, Joe?
Right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And don't forget, they've still got a free trial. You can get 30 days free to see if you like it or not. But mainly, go to their website, Kiplinger.com. Check it out, and I think you'll like it. Joan, let's talk about the Federal Reserve. The economy is flattening out just a little bit, it seems, this summer. I'm not sure quite why. I know the stock market's feeling a little jittery, and of course the Republicans are saying because people, you know, are contemplating, you know, what would happen if Mr. Kerry won.
But, or they could be contemplating what happens if we get four more years of Bush.
Well, they could. That could be true. I guess I could see your point there, but be that as it may, Mr. Greenspan has indicated that he's prepared to have the Fed do what it needs to do to make sure that they rein in inflation, isn't he?
Right, and as your listeners must remember, because we've been beating them over the head with it, the Fed pulled rates down so low that there was no room left to go any lower. But the converse is true in that they have quite a bit of wiggle room to bring rates up without really damaging the economy.
That's true, but it's almost like any kind of an increase would be not bad in reality, but bad symbolically.
Right. There's the psychological aspect that he's going to have to take into account before doing anything too rash. But do you really think we're going to get a lot of increases before the election?
I think, well, you know what I think? I think we're going to get no increases before the election.
Yeah.
I predict
you think we'll get an increase at the end of the year after the election.
I predict that it won't happen until after the election.
Right. But it'll be this year.
That's right. That was my prediction back in January. Yeah. They nailed my prediction perfectly in June, and I think if they do anything, it'll be after the election. Joan, let's move on down and talk about some new blockbuster drugs, as you guys say, that FDA approved. This is good news for folks who have high cholesterol and who are depressed and who have blood clots, things like that, isn't there?
Well, first of all, yeah, a cholesterol drug called Vytorin, which I'm not sure. I think this is the drug that combines two different kind of cholesterol, a statin and something else. And that's going to be huge because you have, I guess the statistics show, you have a huge number of people with high cholesterol, which can lead to blocked arteries.
Mm-hmm.
But
There's
we got
also,
an anti-
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, we also have an antidepressant named Cymbalta.
With a C?
That's right. And then our Coxia, which is an anti-inflammatory. That sounds interesting to me. I guess that
is that like an ibuprofen kind of thing, or
I would think so. It's a stronger version of Motrin or Aleve.
Yeah, and that's going to be these are drugs that the FDA is approving. Folks, they've been working on that are going to be available in the next year or two.
Right.
So you might want to start asking your doctor about these. Then there's also a blood clot medicine,
which I'd be interested to learn about. It's called Xanta. You know, the main blood clot medicine now is called Coumadin, and it's a really tough medicine to take.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this could possibly be an alternative to it. I just don't know.
That would be less. Coumadin is a wonder drug, but it has to be dealt with when you're doing other treatments, don't you?
Right. Exactly. You have to be real careful about the dosage.
It thins the blood, and if you have to have any kind of surgical procedures, you got to come off of it and that sort of thing. So. Which, as I said, it's a wonder drug, but it can be. I guess I shouldn't use the word unstable, but it does have to be dealt with. And maybe this new medicine, maybe it'll allow, maybe a little more versatility there. And then there's an asthma drug and a nerve pain drug.
Yeah.
That nerve pain drug.
There's a lot coming, through the pipeline.
Yeah, absolutely. Joan, at the very bottom of this section, you guys point out something that's troubling. Read that section for us.
Well, we're talking about medical mistakes and legislation designed to reduce medical errors. And we say that medical mistakes are blamed for about 100,000 deaths every year and about 500,000 injuries. That's 500,000.
And Joan, since then, because I don't think that I think this is news since you guys published this, I saw a report that actually doubled that 100,000 deaths to like 195.
Well, that doesn't that boggle the mind? I can't believe that.
One report said 100, another report said 195,000 accidents.
Well, you've heard the stories of people having the wrong leg amputated or the wrong kidney taken out. You know,
Joan, I believe this. I'm dealing with my dad right now. You're dealing with your mother.
That's right.
And in the with the things that they're dealing with, I actually see mistakes, and none of them have been life threatening. But you can see how it could happen, can't you?
No. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
It really is. And I don't know, Joan, what can be done. I mean, as long as human beings, I mean, God bless our medical folks. I mean, they're wonderful folks, but they're like you and me. They're human. They're prone to make mistakes. Quick break. Right back after these messages. Tintel, stay with us. Back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Don't forget all the articles and the archives you can read, listen to. Don't forget you can listen to the show live on the internet and replayed there as well. If you miss something on the radio, you can go back the next during that day for the 24 hours, if it's a Friday show all weekend, and replay to your little heart's content anything that you heard on the show that day, and then usually by the end of the day we have each interview clipped out into their own archives, and all you have to do is remember who the guest was, or maybe the topic, and you can find that on our site as well. Joan, let's move on. Joan Pride is with us, folks, and she's with Kiplinger, and we're talking about the most recent Kiplinger letter. Joan, on page 3. There's some news about our employees, and one of the things is that the companies will have to treat all stock options as expenses in the future. Is that what you're saying?
Right. The Financial Accounting Standards Board. This has been on in the works for a long time, and the FASB, as it's known, is very close to approving this rule that would require companies to take their employee stock options and count them as an expense.
But they're going to have to fight Congress on this, aren't they?
But the interesting thing here, a bill that would weaken that rule has passed the House.
Right.
But it's not expected to pass the Senate this year, so the rule is expected to go into effect. But the interesting thing here is that there's a whole host of major corporations that have already announced that they are voluntarily doing this in advance of the rule.
Well, see, this is not a big deal for the major corporations, the big ones. Yeah. Because that's not how they compensate their employees. That's not how they capitalize the growth of their business. But for small companies, and historically technology companies are the classic examples, they use these options to look at Microsoft is a classic example of this. Microsoft couldn't have accomplished anywhere near what it accomplished if it had had to expense the options that it gave its employees.
Well, I guess the question is whether this is the correct thing from an accounting standpoint or not.
Yeah. Well, the idea that what they're trying to come up with is a way to provide some sunlight into how the company is really doing, and there ought to be a way to note that there are stock options and that there is that contingency. But the problem to me, Joan, is that the FASB folks, I don't think have come up with, is how do you value those stock options? How would anybody know how to value them?
Right. Well, that's always been the question.
That's
right. How do you do that?
So, you know, this may be something the FASB folks want, but there are a lot of problems with it, and I'm not sure.
Well, I guess one of the problems in the past was that companies were trying to argue because you can't properly value them, they shouldn't have to be counted as an expense at all, when
right.
in fact, in some cases, they probably needed to be. So you kind of have the pendulum too far one way and then too far the other way.
There ought to be a way to work this out. One of the things that I found out, Joan, is apparently when the folks in the House tried to talk to FASB and to try to work out something, FASB basically wouldn't talk to them. So that's not a good sign.
Well, the last time FASB tried this, they got browbeaten by Congress, so they're probably a little gun shy.
So we got a bunch of little big babies up there. Is that what you're saying?
They
won't work and play well with others.
Right.
Joe, let's move over and talk about voice ID systems. What's the news there?
Well, this is kind of interesting. I guess there had been some glitches in these systems, and they've been addressed. So now we're saying that they're really going to come online, and they're poised for strong growth, we say.
Now, is this for security? This is for security purposes, right?
That's my understanding, yes. And we're saying that the first early adopters of this are going to be financial companies who would be concerned about identity theft. So if you're calling about something, they'll be able to identify and make sure that you really are who you say you
are.
Wow.
So it might even be customer-centric? Might even be something that customers would be identified, not just employees?
I would think so.
Wow. Now, that could be interesting. That could be great. That's a whole new world. I hadn't thought about it from a customer standpoint.
Well, if you think about it, when you call and you want to make a change in your account, usually they'll ask you a question like, what's your mother's maiden name or something like that. But I guess someone could torture me and get that out of me and call and get everything out of my account.
Joan, nobody could ever torture you and get anything out of you.
Thank you.
Joan, We're just about out of time, but I wanted to quickly report that light sweet crude went to $43 a barrel this week.
Well, you're really, you know, ending on a real optimistic note there.
So I don't know what's going on, but just when we thought gasoline was going the other way, but it goes back to what you and I've been saying. I think we're looking at high gas for a long time.
Yeah, get ready for more of a bumpy ride.
I'm afraid so. Thanks, Joan. Yeah. Good job today. We'll see
you
next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.